Okay, Ravens and Bengals is next. We'll start with the Ravens, who are missing quite a few people to the point where Tony Jefferson got signed and is playing again. And not a lot of you know who this is, but he is an IDP legend. He played a long and storied career. He was on an Arizona defense that was just incredible. He was a massive producer at safety. He was an incredible IDP safety for many years, many different defenses. Really, really solid dude. It's so cool to see him back and to see him at the top of the box score. That's freaking awesome. The only issue is many things need to happen for this to be an option again next week, although the Ravens do have the... I remember it was someone decent. Who the hell do the Ravens have? Oh, the Rams. Jesus. Okay. Yeah, that's decent. Okay. If we're missing... Who was it? Brandon Stevens we're missing this week? Yeah, I think so. No? Hang on. So we had Chuck Clark was back, 100% of snaps. And then Brandon Stevens, 57%. Tony Jefferson, 62%. So they went three safeties this week. Let's see what happened to Brandon Stevens, because that's not his normal playing time. All right, hitting the news here. I don't see anything. Yep, not seeing anything. Creativity required for defense ravaged by COVID-19. Okay, so they were just missing enough people that they rolled out Tony Jefferson and had him do a bunch of things. The odds of that, you know, breaking the exact same way next week so that Tony Jefferson, despite only playing 62% of snaps, gets us 10 combined tackles, a sack, a tackle for loss, a pass defense, and a QB hit are not great. They're not great at all. So we could probably skip this. As much as my nostalgia, you know, makes me want to go add him and give it a shot, it's not a good idea. This was like an emergency backup plan for the Ravens that worked out well if you started him in IDP, but I don't even think anyone knew he was an option this week, to be honest with you. I remember seeing that he got signed to the practice squad, but I sure as shit had no idea he was going to play 62% of snaps and have an incredibly large, massive, ridiculous game. And odds are real good that it's not going to happen next week, so we could just skip this, but really nice to see him back. Really solid dude. Okay, Patrick Queen continues his upward ascent, 9 combined tackles, 4 of them solo, pass defense, tackle for loss. So that's excellent. Queen is at back up to 92% of snaps as well, so he's almost regained all of his value he had at the start of the season, which is excellent because he really took a dive there for a minute, but he's back, so that's good. Okay, Anthony Averett, they lost to something broken. I can't remember what it was, but I remember seeing that. Let's check that real quick. Anthony Averett. Okay. Fractured rib. Okay, so they lost him to a fractured rib. So the cornerback core is incredibly weird looking right now. It's Kevon Seymour leading the way, 99% of snaps. Daryl Worley at 83%, and Tavon Young at 76%. I mean, they do have the Rams next week, so geez Louise, it is almost worth trying to figure this out, right? So, all right, Tavon Young has been there the vast majority of the season. He remains corner 3, so no change there. Daryl Worley and Kevon Seymour are the new guys, so we must have been missing Jimmy Smith and Chris Westry as well due to COVID. So that's the problem here, is if we get Jimmy Smith or Chris Westry back, who does it displace? Is it Seymour or is it Worley? I don't know. And if we guess wrong, we get nothing. We get zero. If we guess right, though, against this Rams team, where are they playing? Let's see where they're playing. It's in Baltimore. I don't know. Man. It sure would be nice to have some clarity on that, because that would be really, really nice, despite maybe being in a bad weather situation. Oh, jeez. I don't know what to tell you. It's too early in the week to try and figure this out. I might have it figured out by Friday for the coroner's article. But I think if Averett is healthy, we definitely do that. like 1,000%. We do that against the Rams. That would be great. And then normally it's Jimmy Smith and then Chris Westry. So we'd have to be missing both of those guys again to get like Kevon Seymour or Daryl Worley. So a lot of moving pieces here for the cornerback core. I think the move on this is we just punt and we check back later in the week with the beat writers and see if we get some clarity. And if not, I mean, it sucks to skip an incredible matchup like this, but it is what it is. I mean, it's title week. You can't afford to screw around and get a zero. So, you know, if we can't figure it out, just forget it. Go somewhere else. There are other good games next week. I mean, that is a nice matchup for the Ravens, but we also got, you know, Falcons corners against the Bills. That's perfect. We got Bengals corners against the Chiefs. That's perfect. We've got Jets corners against the Buccaneers. That's freaking excellent. No one's going to touch that. No one's got Brandon Echols in your league. No one's got Michael Carter. No one's got Bryce Hall. Go get those guys. Shit, that's beautiful. We got Broncos corners next week against the Chargers. That's beautiful. We got Cardinals and Cowboys against each other. Shit, pick a side. You'll be fine. And then we got Vikings corners against the Packers. So we've got many good options next week. I think we can afford to just skip this Ravens shenanigans and keep it moving because there are way too many moving pieces here. And if we get it wrong, we are totally screwed. So I think I'm just going to punt on it personally. But there is an opportunity here if you can figure out who the hell is going to play corner for the Ravens against the Rams next week for like a shot in the dark crazy ass game from some corner no one's ever heard of that could maybe help you win your league. I'm not talking to the guys here, the guys and gals that are in the medium to shallow leagues. I'm talking 32 teams, single copy, you know, dynasty salary cap. You gotta launch a Hail Mary on a weekly basis. This is who I'm talking to for this right here. You guys should ignore everything I just said and keep trying to hunt this shit down. Try and find out who it is going to be next week, because whoever it is, no one's going to have them. They're going to be available. It's going to be just like the Cardinals guy we just talked about, Hamilton or whatever his name was, Antonio Hamilton, I think. You know, it's going to be someone no one's ever heard of that's going to get the shit targeted out of them and probably have a huge week. So that's beautiful. So that's how we play that. If you're in a crazy deep league, keep trying to figure this out. Hit up the beat reporters later in the week. Check out my corners article on Friday and give it a whirl, because what the hell? It can, you know, can't hurt that much when you're in that deep a league. But medium to shallow leagues, let's just stay the hell away from this because, you know, it's not worth getting it wrong. Okay, I digress. Chuck Clark was back this week. He played 100% of snaps, 6 combined tackles. That's decent. That looks good. Josh Bynes, 6 combined tackles and a pass defense. Bynes was in for 70% of snaps. So he's back to his normal kind of, you know, second inside linebacker role there. Okay, beyond that, we talked about Brandon Stevens with the injury. Anthony Averett with the injury. Brandon Stevens, don't know what's going on with that. I didn't see anything that said he was injured. Let's just double check real quick while we're here. All right. Yeah, there's really, yep. All right, let me pause so you guys can stop hearing me just say yep while I look this up. Okay, I did find a nugget of useful information buried in that giant shit show of beat writer reports there. So Brandon Stevens is not hurt. He was coming back from regular old illness, not COVID illness. At least that's what it was implied here. So he was not able to go his normal amount of snaps. That probably explains a decent amount of the Tony Jefferson sighting. And it explains why he didn't see his normal 100% of snaps. So there you go. That explains that. And that might be part of the move as well. You know, normally he's 100% of snaps guy. He's a safety designated as a corner. Against the Rams, that might be a decently safe move right there. But whatever. It's you know, as mentioned previously, it's something you're going to have to follow up on throughout the week if you're in those deeper leagues. Okay, moving on. Broderick Washington and Isaiah Mack both landed sacks. we can skip Isaiah Mack, backup nose tackle, 33% of snaps. Broderick Washington, 63% of snaps, defensive tackle. Never heard of him. Didn't know that was a person. Very likely had to do with the COVID shenanigans, so we should probably skip that as well. We're not going to trust a defensive tackle we never heard of in the title game for fantasy playoffs, so we'll keep it moving. Okay, heading over to the Bengals. So Jermaine Pratt remained the best option at 100% of snaps inside linebacker. If Logan Wilson is out again this week, we get Jermaine Pratt in the same situation. And the Bengals have the... Who do they have? What the hell? I can't find the Bengals here. Are they just not playing week 17? Is that what's happening here? Oh, they never mind. They got the Chiefs. Okay. So, yeah, that's a decent offense right there. So, you know, keep an eye on that. If Logan Wilson's out, Jermaine Pratt's in. We've already established that, but, you know, it remains true this week as well. Okay, second inside linebacker was Marcus Bailey. 78% of snaps and 8 combined tackles. So he was replacing Joe Bocci. Let's find out what's going on with Joe Bocci. Bocci. Yeah, there we go. This guy. Great. Tell me what's going on. Joe Bocci to IR. Okay, so we're good. So Marcus Bailey is a real option. He did only see 78% of snaps, and the Chiefs are a little more pass happy, so he may not be as valuable this upcoming week, but he had 8 combined tackles out of that, which ain't bad. So deeper leagues, if you need a second inside linebacker option, like as in not the 100% of snaps guy, like he'll see 70-ish percent of snaps, Marcus Bailey appears to be an option for next week at least. But that's only if Logan Wilson's out, because there's a chain reaction effect. If Logan Wilson's in, then Jermaine Pratt becomes the second inside linebacker and Marcus Bailey disappears. If Logan Wilson's out, then Jermaine Pratt is elevated to the top inside linebacker and Marcus Bailey gets a role and gets to play. So it all depends on Logan Wilson, but there you go. That exists. All right. Production. So Marcus Bailey led the way. We just talked about him. Mike Hilton had a good game. 6 combined tackles, 5 of them solo, 2 tackles for loss. That leads us to our other issue here, the corners. So corner breakdown this week was Eli Apple, 100% of snaps. We got to remember this was a blowout too. So a lot of these guys got to rest. So Eli Apple, 100% of snaps. Chidobe Awuzie, 80%. Mike Hilton, 78%. Trey Waynes, 20%. That's interesting. So Trey Waynes, massive reduction in snaps this week. And let's find out if that's actually due to blowout or what happened here. I'm not seeing anything other than Trey Waynes returns from IR for news articles here. So it's interesting. It does provide us some clarity, though. So I think against the Chiefs, Chidobe Awuzie is definitely your best option. And then Apple has played enough all year. He just hasn't been productive. So I would go Awuzie, then Mike Hilton against the Chiefs next week as your best two options, and that's that. Okay, we talked about Jermaine Pratt. We talked about Awuzie. So Bates and Bell. So Bates had just 5 combined tackles, 4 of them solo. He was in for 100% of snaps, and he's likely to have a pretty good game this week because he's more the deeper safety. He's more game script, game flow, like, dependent to get his production, whereas Von Bell plays more in the box traditionally and is closer to the action and can usually get his production pretty much no matter what. Bates needs, you know, he needs an effective offense that can throw the ball downfield into his area, quote unquote, to get his production. And that is sure as shit the Chiefs. So I think Bates is in for a big week this upcoming week. I would feel A-okay playing him. So okay game for him. Eli Apple, just 5 combined tackles, 2 of them solo. Von Bell, 5 combined tackles, 2 of them solo, 2 pass defense, and 1 interception. So excellent game for Von Bell. He was in for 100% of snaps. Trey Hendrickson landed another sack, two combined tackles, one sack, two tackles for loss, three QB hits, 69% of snaps for Trey Hendrickson. And Sam Hubbard, just two combined tackles, despite playing... Where the hell is Sam Hubbard this week? Oh, 100% of snaps. Jesus, I did not expect to see him up there. Wow, all right. So a ton of snaps for Sam Hubbard this week, but not a lot of production. You know, nature of the position, though, I'm sure he's got a decent chance of bouncing back against the Chiefs. So if you're starting him, I wouldn't change anything. Keep him going. Yeah, and after that, it's a bunch of guys no one gives a shit about, so we'll just go ahead and skip that. Playing time, we've already discussed the vast majority of these guys. There are a couple moving pieces here. It all depends on Logan Wilson. So Logan Wilson dictates how much Jermaine Pratt we get, whether it's 100% of snaps Jermaine Pratt or 60% of snaps Jermaine Pratt, and whether or not we get Marcus Bailey at all. It all comes down to Logan Wilson, so pay attention to that this week, and the rest of it is pretty much set in stone. Awuzie and Hilton, probably pretty decent options against the Chiefs at corner. And that is the Bengals. That was the Ravens. And that's it for that one.